The Schitas Peres is squeezing out fruit. The Schitas Peres is the logical continuation of everything we've been talking about for the last month already, in terms of choleg, in terms of threshing and milking and nursing. So here the Gemara says explicitly in the 22nd Berach of the Sefer Shabbos, the Schitas Peres of squeezing out fruit can potentially be a melachat yaraita, because you're basically being dosh, you're putting pressure on the fruit, extracting out the juice. Not all that different than the person who's exerting pressure on the udder of the animal, extracting out the milk, the person who's pressing on the grain, taking out the good part of the grain out of the shell. So this is all a potential malacha deraisa of the dash. However, the Gemara is quite clear that not all fruit are subject to this iser of schita, and what's unclear is what exactly are the parameters. When do we say schita's peres is also? When do we say schita's peres is also? The Gemara quotes the braisa that we spoke about at the very end of the shiur last week. The Braisa gives two examples, two kinds of fruit that is perfectly permissible, even l'chatchila, to squeeze. We're not exactly sure what they are. Rashi gives us at least one of them. Rashi says it's called prunes. So, for our purposes, we'll just translate it as being prunes. The Gemara says that it's permissible to squeeze prunes and other kinds of similar fruit, in contrast to rimon, in contrast to pomegranates, which are also to squeeze. So the Gemara asks the question, what's the difference between the prunes and the pomegranates? So at least at the beginning of this sugya, the Gemara seems to say that the difference is as follows, that prunes, nobody would ever squeeze prunes, or sugar would ever squeeze prunes. Obviously, some of these facts could change with Banazet, but who in the world would ever squeeze prunes? Therefore, a fruit that's not normal at all to squeeze is permissible to squeeze, in contrast to Rimonim, which every once in a while people do squeeze Rimonim. Who squeezes Rimonim? So the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you who squeezes Rimonim. There was a fellow, there was a family based Menashev and Menachem. They were in the pomegranate business, they used to make a pomegranate juice, and therefore you see from here that it's normal to squeeze Rimonim. So that's the way the Gemara, at least at this stage, that the difference between the Prishin and the Uzadim on the one hand, and the Rimonim on the other hand, is it normal or is it not normal? So the Gemara then continues, about trust, we left off last week, it's been a couple of days because we never shared Friday, it's been almost a week, but just to get us back into the swing of things. So the Gemara then questions, and the Gemara says, wait a second, you want to tell me that because there's a guy, a based in Ashim and Menachem, one fellow, a couple of guys who squeeze pomegranates, that's going to do it in for everybody. That's going to cause a problem for everybody. The Gemara says, not so fast. The Gemara says, that halacha, that just because some people do it, I have to worry about it. Is that really true? So the Gemara, nah. But the diet, the way to die is kalodom. One guy, one shooting a guy does it, what does that cause trouble for me? If you're going to tell me a lot of people do it, maybe there's a whole city that does it, there's a whole town that does it, well, then we can begin to negotiate. There'll be one guy, a few lone individuals, the ones who are squeezing pomegranates, that's going to create an issue from that. That's what we call butler daito etzel das kalod, and that's nothing, that's beating it. The Gemara goes back to square one. So if so, that reason of the base benashim or menachem, that's not really the reason. That's not the reason why you can't squeeze pomegranates. So in fact, why can't you squeeze pomegranates? It comes along with a new story. The Gemara says that, really, it seems not to be so normal to squeeze pomegranates. But you know why you can't squeeze pomegranates? Because Hobach Shevin Olamashke, this person who's squeezing the pomegranate, he's trying to create pomegranate juice. So he himself is giving credibility to this mashke. He himself is giving significance and giving importance to this mashke. So what the Gemara seems to present us now is the following itself. That something which really nobody squeezes, objectively, it's not really considered to be a mashke. If it's not objectively a mashke, then you're not chayev. As we learned in the Sugi of Choleh, the malacha of disha is the extracting of liquids from the solid. That's of a shame mashke. That's something that's chashev enough to be called a mashke. We spoke about, is milk a mashke? Is this a mashke? Is that a mashke? So is juice a mashke? It depends. So there are certain kinds of juices that are objectively a mashke. Say, for example, say grape juice. Olive oil. Those are things that everybody squeezes. Those are understood or considered to be objectively a mashke. That's for sure malacha deraisa. Then there are other kinds of liquids that are not really mashke. It's not pomegranate juice. What gives pomegranate juice a shem mashke? Oh, that's the Gemara's chiddush, that even though pomegranate juice objectively is not a mashke, but subjectively it's a mashke. Why is it subject? I want it. If I'm the person who's squeezing pomegranate juice, that shows that it's significant for me, and that in and of itself can create a shem mashke on it. That's what the Gemara, the answer seems to be. So Rashi on the spot asks the obvious, Bob Kasha. Rashi says, wait a second. If you're going to tell me that Hovach Shevinu, Hashvinu Mashke, that a person's preference for drinking pomegranate juice can create the shemash, can create a problem of schlitus payers, even the araisa, is Rashi, then how could you ever have a case where it's put to the squeeze? How could the braisa compare and contrast? You can squeeze the prunes, but you can't squeeze the pomegranates. Why? If you say that the whole reason for squeezing pomegranates is because he personally is machshiv them, he's giving significance to the pomegranates, that should apply to everything. So it should be also in that Torah to squeeze pomegranates, also in that Torah to squeeze grapes and olives and apples and oranges and prunes. Anything that a person personally squeezes, which is basically anything, that should become automatically a disadir, right? So the Gemara, in a certain sense, is guilty, so to speak, of overkill. We try to find the reason why the pomegranates are asar, but by saying that the pomegranates are asar, that you also, by definition, said that everything is asar, which is exactly what you're trying not to accomplish. You try to explain the pshat of the braisa, why certain fruits are asar and certain fruits are mutar. So what's the answer to that dilemma? The Rashi says, lays brayer, you have to revamp the entire braisa. When the braisa is talking about differences of squeezing, some squeezing is a mutar, some squeezing is a asar, says Rashi, we now have to ask a new question we haven't yet introduced. Why is the person squeezing the fruit? There are one of two reasons why a person could squeeze fruit. Either you could squeeze fruit to get the juice because you want to drink the juice, or you could squeeze fruit because you really want to eat the fruit, but you don't want the fruit to be so juicy. You don't want the fruit to be so full, so liquidy. You want to get rid of the liquid. That's your goal of squeezing the fruit. One of two very, very different reasons. What the Gemara calls Sochen Lamashkin, in contrast to Sochen Begufan. So comes Rashi and says, a whole shtickle Torah in the braisa. If the person is squeezing lamashkin, if his goal is to get out the juice, to drink the juice, he wants to have a cup of pomegranate juice, then he's chayav. He's makshiv the juice. And for that matter, says Rashi, if he squeezes out prune juice because he wants to drink the juice, he's also chayav. Because afi halacha, squeezing prunes for their juice and squeezing pomegranates for their juice are identical to one another. There's absolutely no difference between the two. A makshiv the juice, it's a mocha deraisa. So what's the braisa talking about? The braisa that's differentiating between the pomegranates and the prunes, the braisa is talking about the person who doesn't want to drink the juice. He's not interested in drinking the juice. He wants to remove the juice. What's the problem? Why should that be a malacha altogether? The answer is it's not a malacha. It's not a malacha deraisa, but it's not such a good idea. It's a gezeira derabanan. If we let you squeeze pomegranates for their fruit, to enhance the fruit, the next thing you know is you're going to want to make into juice. If we let you squeeze the grapes to enhance the grapes, the next thing you know you're going to squeeze it for the juice. So therefore, mid the Rabbanon, we should prohibit all squeezing of fruit, a gezeira up to schita deraisa. And it's at that point that pomegranates and prunes part ways, says Rashi. When it comes to something like pomegranates, which some people squeeze, well, no, not everybody, but it's normal, it's not normal enough to be chayav for squeezing, but it's not absolutely crazy to squeeze to make pomegranate juice. But then we're very, very weary. If we let a person squeeze a pomegranate to enhance the taste of the pomegranate, next thing you know is you're going to make yourself pomegranate juice. Whereas prunes, if you want to squeeze out the juice, you can eat yourself a good shmach of prune, because then, hey, there's nothing to worry about. No meshuga is ever going to go and squeeze prunes for the prune juice. So comes Rashi and says, that's the pshat of the braisa. So now we have a whole new reading of the braisa. When the braisa is differentiating between different kinds of fruits, the braisa is not differentiating on the level of the araisa. On the level of the araisa, any squeezing that you do to make juice is also no question about it, because the one word, achshavinu, because you were machshav, you gave significance to the juice, it's a done deal, it's over. Anytime you squeeze fruit for its juice, under all circumstances, says Rashi, it's an outright issa deraisa. The only time that the braisa is differentiating and saying some fruits are mutter, that means hocha b'mayaskin, and you're squeezing it legufam to enhance the peiros. So then, minatora is always mutter, midirabonin, it's sometimes also sometimes mutter, depending on how normal it is to squeeze the fruit. So Rashi comes up with a tremendous, tremendous chiddush, a tremendous chumra that the overwhelming majority of the shem do not accept. According to Rashi, the sugya is pretty much over in terms of us, namely, anytime you squeeze any fruit or juice on Shabbos, it's an automatic issa deraisa. Nothing to discuss, no questions about it. That's an absolute issa deraisa, because that one magic word, achshavinu, you will machshav that juice, and therefore it's considered to be a mashkav in deraisa, and you chayav. If you're squeezing it for other reasons to enhance the fruit, then we can negotiate to a bottom of it. Yeah, maybe you know, but if you're squeezing it for juice, it's also been a term of squeezing oranges and apples and pomegranates and grapefruits and prunes for that. You name it, you're squeezing fruit for juice, it's also been a term according to Rashi. That's the way the Gemara ends up.
Vegetables?
Tasha is the same thing. Yeah. Tasha the Kohen. Anytime you want the juice, if you want the juice, even though you're a Meshuggah, you're crazy, who's drinking carrot juice, who's drinking potato juice, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. If you're doing it, it's actually
who defines what's normal, what's not normal?
The Gezeirah Derabbanan. The Rabbanan have to size it up and say, well, nobody really does this, so then there's probably very little to be afraid of. If some people do it, even though it's not enough to be called a real Rov Min HaTorah, but it's enough to create a fear mid the Rabbanan. So comes the Rashba, and on the spot, on the sugya, says that he doesn't think this is true. Says the Rashba, he doesn't think that this magic word Achshavinu really carries the day. This creates everything. He says, if so, then you're going to be left with a very, very strange shot of the Brisa. And the Brisa, which is permitting squeezing a fruit, doesn't really mean squeezing a fruit. It means squeezing a fruit, not for the juice. Says the Rashba, that doesn't seem to fit into the text of the Gemara. The Brisa says, soch the appreciative uzit, and the Brisa says, you're allowed to squeeze the prunes. The Brisa doesn't say, oh, if, by the way, you're squeezing the fruit prunes to get better prunes, then it's mutter. It doesn't say that in the Brisa. Comes to Rashba and says, he thinks the Pshat of the Gemara is as follows. The Gemara thought that the reason why it's prohibited in the first place to squeeze these Rimonim, the Gemara wanted to pin it on those individuals of Beis Benachem and Menachem, that family, that one small group of people who were normal for them to squeeze pomegranates. And the Gemara said, nah, can't be. Butler died of them. If one person is squeezing pomegranates, that's not going to do us in for the rest of the world. And then the Gemara revamped that. Comes to Rashba and says, the Gemara never meant to completely negate that Svara. The Gemara just meant to qualify that Svara. Namely, it's a combination of two factors together that causes a problem. Because there are some people out there who are squeezing, albeit a minority, very, very small minority, based on Ashram and Achim. And this individual also is Machshav the Jews. This person really wants this juice. Harai, he's squeezing it for the Jews. And you have these two factors that combine, namely, there are some people who are doing it, albeit a very small amount, and you personally are doing it also. Those two factors combined together, it's Achshavinu plus a few people doing it, that creates a problem. But, says the Rashba, if you are the only person under the sun who's doing it, nobody else is doing it. We never heard of anybody else squeezing that fruit. The fact that you personally are squeezing that fruit, lo malas lo mahir. Says the Rashba, there's no such thing as Achshavinu in and of itself causing a problem. Unlike Rashi, who said that we're very subjective in our determination of what's called Tzchita D'Araisa, according to Rashi, nobody under the sun ever, since the days of Maaseh Bereishis, ever squeezed this fruit. You decided, Tavshanai and Dalet, to squeeze this fruit, Yichayev D'Araisa. That's what Rashi says. Achshavinu is a Svar D'Araisa. Rashi says, nah. Rashi says, Achshavinu in and of itself doesn't cause a problem. It's Achshavinu coupled with the fact that there are some people out there who are doing it, and you're showing that you're one of those people, that's when the problem begins. So therefore the Rashba says, we can keep the Brisa Kipshuto. The Brisa said, you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates, but you are allowed to squeeze prunes. Says the Rashba, you know what that means? You're allowed to squeeze prunes, literally. You're allowed to squeeze prunes for the juice. Aye, what do you mean? It's Achshavinu, says the Rashba. Achshavinu is not a problem in and of itself. Achshavinu is only a problem when it's combined together with the fact that some people out there doing it. That's what the Gemara says. Pomegranate, some people are doing it. Therefore, Achshavinu is a problem. Prunes, nobody's doing. Nobody knows sugar to ever squeeze a prune, says the Rashba. That's what the Brisa says. Sochtim, the priest of Uzradin. Nobody ever does that. And you want to go ahead and do it, it's Takamotar. You're doing it for the Jews. It's Achshavinu. So what, says the Rashba. Achshavinu by itself is not a problem. Now we have a major machlokes, both in terms of the text of the Gemara, as well as conceptually, what are the factors that are creating Isurim of Shechita? Everybody agrees that Shechita is sometimes Osir. Everyone agrees Shechita is sometimes Mutter. Perishing Brisa. Some fruits yes, some fruits no. What are the criteria? So according to Rashi, once you are doing it Lamashkin, it's a done deal. Yechayev D'Araisa. Nothing to discuss. Once you are squeezing any fruit under the sun, whether you're the only person ever who squeezed such a fruit, it's Osir Min HaTorah. Achshavinu carries the day itself, according to Rashi. And according to the Rashba, Achshavinu is not the end all. Achshavinu is one of the criteria. If it's Achshavinu, and it's also some people are doing it, those two factors together combine to create a problem. But if it's just you personally squeezing, that's nothing. We have a very, very different approach to the sugya between Rashi and the Rashba. Comes to Beis Yosef, and he says, Yeah, I don't think he had a Rashba in the Shabbat. I think he had it printed. It was in Ksav Yad at the time. So comes the Beis Yosef and says, I'm reading Rashi's Pshat of the Gemara. The Rashi comes out and says that basically, Lamaisa, you're only allowed to squeeze the prunes if you want to enhance the fruit. If you want to squeeze for juice, it's also minatur, Yechayev. Says the Beis Yosef, I can't believe that anyone else agrees to this. I'm looking at the Rif, the Rav, the Ron, all the Gedolei Rishonim. Everybody quotes the Brice that says, Sochetin Beprishin Vilzhudin. Everybody just quotes the Brice that can shoot the literal translation of the Brice, that it's permissible to squeeze prunes. So comes the Rashi and says, if the other Rishonim meant it's permissible to squeeze prunes, if you don't want it for juice, that would have been an important piece of information for them to tell us. But we steam at the Rishonim from the simple meaning of the Rishonim, says the Beis Yosef, he doesn't believe that Rashi's Pshat is accepted. So what is a pshat? So the Beis Yosef didn't have the Rashba, so he didn't think of the Rashba's pshat. So what can the Gemara mean? If Rashba's pshat is not correct, what can the Gemara mean? So says the Beis Yosef, we have to go back to the text of the Gemara itself. What was the shot of the Gemara? The Brisa said, you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates, but you're allowed to squeeze prunes. So the Gemara thought, what's the difference? The Gemara thought, oh, it's based on the fact that some people are squeezing pomegranates. The Gemara says, no, it can't be. They're butler dice, and they're nothing. They're such a small amount of people, they can't be causing a problem. So the Gemara says, you're right. Achshavinu. The real reason is based on Achshavinu. Comes the Beis Yosef and says that there's this third stage in the Gemara. You know what the third stage in the Gemara is? The Gemara rejects Achshavinu, and the Gemara goes back to the original reason. Wait a second. But we just said the original reason is not right. The original reason, and this is Beis Yosef reconstructing what doesn't say in the Gemara itself. We're going to see what led him to believe this. So again, so the Chaval, we don't remember Kroos. It's a little bit easier, but we'll have to totally be detached about that. So the Gemara started out by saying the difference between the pomegranates and the prunes is based on stage number one. It's based on the few people that are squeezing. Yes, the Gemara, they're too insignificant, too small amount of people to cause a problem. It must be based on Achshavinu. That's where the Gemara ends, according to everybody else. Comes the Beis Yosef and says, no, there's a hidden line, so to speak, in the Gemara. Not really there, but if you read the Gemara really carefully, you'll notice that the Gemara eventually rejects the reason of Achshavinu and goes back to the original reason because there are some people who are squeezing. So it says the Beis Yosef, but if that's the real reason, but the Gemara rejected it for a reason. The Gemara rejected it because there's so few people, they're not important. So how can you bring that reason back to life? So it comes the Beis Yosef and says, no, it must be that in the Maskanas of Gemara, something radically changed. The Gemara came to the realization that those people are based in Asher and Menachem, those lone people who are squeezing pomegranates are not as lone as we thought they were. They're not as individuals as we thought they were. There must be more people out there. It must be that the Beis Midrash of Menachem, the whole industry, there was significant amount of people squeezing it. Oh, says the Beis Yosef, you look at other Gemaras, when there's a significant amount of people doing something, then we can no longer mach them. We can no longer ignore them. Then they can potentially cause problems even for us. So says the Beis Yosef, that's the real pshat in the Brisa. When the Brisa says that pomegranates no, prunes yes, so what's the answer? What's the pshat of the difference? What the Gemara thought originally is the pshat. Namely, pomegranates some people are squeezing, prunes nobody's squeezing. But where is the Gemara rejected that pshat because it didn't have all the facts right, all the matzias right? The Gemara thought that there are just so few people squeezing pomegranates. The Gemara says, no, it's not as few as we thought they were. There is a significant minority, not a nobody, it's a significant minority which is squeezing pomegranates, and that creates a problem. And that's the real pshat in the Braisa. When the Braisa ultimately says, Sochetin v'prishin v'uzvedin avaloberimonim, what the Braisa is really saying is, forget about Achshavinu, who cares about Achshavinu, lomal v'lomal. What the Gemara is really saying is, if there are a significant amount of people squeezing fruit X, then it's also to squeeze that fruit. If one, two, very, very few people are squeezing fruit Y, then it's okay. Then it's fine. Then it's b'lechatchila to squeeze fruit Y. So we have, though, a totally third shot in the Gemara that the Beis Yosef is claiming represents the view of most of the Rishonim. We don't have any Rishonim says it, but the Beis Yosef is claiming that's what he thinks most of the Rishonim hold. So we now have three very, very different approaches to Shaila of squeezing fruit. I want a halach l'maisa, Rabbi, can I squeeze an orange? Can I squeeze a grapefruit? Can I squeeze an apple? What's the deal of squeezing fruit on Shabbos? So it depends what you ask. So you have three different Rishonim giving you three very, very different criteria, three radically different pshatim as to what is the conclusion of the Gemara. So according to Rashi, the conclusion of the Gemara is, if you are squeezing it for juice, you have a problem. Rashi says, I don't want to negotiate, I don't want to hear about anything else. There is no other factor involved in the Shiloh, according to Rashi. If you are squeezing it for juice, it's also minatara. If you happen to be squeezing it to enhance the taste of the fruit, Then we can begin to negotiate the rabbanon. But with the raisa, you come and want to know, Rabbi, can I squeeze a grapefruit? Can I squeeze an orange? Can I squeeze a, a pear was a big topic in the Middle Ages. Can I squeeze any of these fruits? The answer is no. It's also in a Torah because you want it for juice. End of the discussion. According to the Rashba, not necessarily, according to the Rashba, you have to just ask yourself one question. Is there anybody out there who's doing it? If there are anybody, doesn't matter how many people are out there, one person, two people, 10 people, if there are people out there who are doing it, then it becomes a problem. Because once there are some, albeit a very small amount of people out there doing it, combined with the fact of Achshavinu, that creates a problem, according to the Rashba. And according to the Beis Yosef, not only is Rashi not right, the Rashba's not right either. According to what the Beis Yosef claims is the Rif and the Ram and the Rush and all the Rishon who didn't say otherwise, the Beis Yosef is suggesting in their Shita that the real factor is amount of people. That's all that matters. Achshavinu, we totally, completely rejected the Svar of Achshavinu. The only thing that really matters is, are there people doing it? But not just one or two lone people like the Rashba. Is there a significant minority out there? Are there a significant minority of people squeezing, for our purposes, oranges, grapefruits, apples, pears? As the Rishonim point out, it's going to be very hard to find the fruit that there aren't people squeezing as much as that. So if you have any fruit that there are a significant amount of people squeezing out there, that's like pomegranates, and then it becomes also to squeeze those fruits. Achshavinu is lomal v'lomayrit. The only thing that really matters is significant minority. According to Rashi, Achshavinu is the factor. According to the Rashba, Achshavinu plus anyone out there creates a problem. According to the Beis Yosef, Pshat, most of the Rishonim, Achshavinu is completely rejected. The only thing that really matters is a significant minority.
Question is kind of Rashi. Maybe there's like an intermediate stage where it's not either you want the fruit or you want the pulp, but it's whether you're going to throw out the rest of the pick up the liquid. Because, if you're going to throw it out, then that's like dush. Dush, you're taking one thing and you're rejecting everything. But if you're taking out the liquid that you're going to use,
we can eat it out also. So your question, maybe that's not the Tzurim Malachas Dush altogether. The problem is that the Gemara does speak about dosh on the milking, according to most of the Rishonim. I'm extracting the milk, I'm not throwing the cow out, taking the milk out, eventually I'll eat the cow. At some point I'm going to check the cow also, but since right now I'm not interested in the cow, right now I'm trying to get out the milk, so that seems to also be Malachas Dush. Even though you're right, it doesn't have that component of separating good from bad, which is more of a Borah kind of a component than a dosh, right? Right, very good.
So squeeze to enhance the fruit, that's a
deraisa. No. If you squeeze to enhance the fruit, by definition, it can never be a deraisa. Okay. That's a lachshan tzvich l'guf, maybe. Better than that. So again, we have three different sheetahs in the Rishon. But l'chor de Beis Yosef pshat textually is the most difficult, because according to Rashi, the svar of Achshavinu is carrying the day. According to the Rashba, Achshavinu at least carrying part of the day. According to the Beis Yosef, it got thrown out. According to the Beis Yosef, the whole svar of Achshavinu got rejected in the Gamri. Well, what right did the Beis Yosef have? Where did the Beis Yosef see in the Gemara that Achshavinu set off fell by the wayside? If the Gemara built up this whole Svar of Achshavinu and said, yeah, Achshavinu, 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 so what right did the Beis Yosef have to say, oh, by the way, that reason the Gemara, that's not the real reason. The real reason is the reason that the Gemara rejected, and let me tell you why the Gemara's rejection is really true. So, textually, the Gemara is very, very difficult. So let's try the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef explains himself, you have to look really carefully at the Gemara. When the Gemara introduced the principle of Achshavinu to try to suggest that the fact that you are squeezing something creates a problem in halacha, the Gemara didn't just throw it out as a svar. It didn't just say, oh, by the way, there's a svar called Achshavinu and we should be worried about Achshavinu. No. The Gemara proved that there's Achshavinu. The Gemara didn't say it flippantly. The Gemara says, I'm going to prove to you that there is a concept in halacha called Achshavinu where you have a liquid that's intrinsically not really a liquid. Objectively not really a liquid. The fact that you are using it, you are considering it a liquid, that's a problem. The Gemara proved that from a different area of halacha. What area of halacha did the Gemara run through? All the way to Hilchos Mikvos. Liquids play an important role in Hilchos Mikvos as well. There's a halacha's problem. Let's say I have a mikvah, perfectly kosher mikvah, and I put some liquid into the mikvah that changes the color of the mikvah. I pour wine into the mikvah. I pour orange juice into the mikvah. I pour some kind of a liquid into the mikvah that changes the color of the mikvah. So the Mishnah says in Masechet Mikvos that mashke can be posel as a mikvah b'shini nare. If it changes the color of the mikvah, that could posel the mikvah. Where did that come from? What kind of halacha is that? So the Rishonim explained it's only a psalm of the Rabbanan. It's a kosher mikvah. The fact that it put some wine in it now looks purple. Why should that posel the mikvah? So the Rishon explained, it's a gezeira in the Rabbanon. You don't want a person to walk into a mikveh and say, what an interesting purple mikveh. Oh, not a very expensive mikveh here. We make our mikvehs out of wine instead of out of water. First he's going to think, this is wine, so it's not going to think it's water. So the problem is, if a person thinks that it's a wine, next thing you know, he's going to make a wine mikveh. He's going to make an orange mikveh. And that will be possible in the Torah. The Torah says, it has to be water. So if it's a water mikveh, just looks a little purple, so we threw a little bit of wine in, so it has a purple tinge to it. Minat Torah, it's still kosher, because it's still fundamentally water. But if it's too much wine in it, and it's no water, then it will become possible in the Raisa. So there's a din in the Rabbanon called Shinimara, that anything that changes the color of the mikvah, potentially possible to mikvah. So we should discuss the Shalom, the Mishnah, the Shnayas, about what if you have a mikvah that has a different color, but it doesn't have a different color because somebody poured wine into it. It has a different color, and it was in the mikvah. Every Yom Kippur, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, some mikvah has a different color because a lot of people have been using it. It has that murky, grayish, brownish look to it. So the whole shiloh, we assume it's probably also okay. Get back to the purple colored mikvah. So if you have you poured wine into the mikvah, that passes the mikvah. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, what's the din if a person takes a vegetable, tarzan, translate that to be like some kind of a spinach, I don't know, literally spinach, but some kind of a vegetable, and you squeeze out the vegetable, you squeeze out the juice of the vegetable, and now the mikvah turns green. Is that a problem or not? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's a problem. So the Gemara says, why is that a problem? That l'chora, the din is, the only thing that's possible to make for b'shinimara is a mashke. What kind of mashke is that? If I take wine and pour it into the mikvah, why does that mashke? I squeeze out a piece of spinach into the mikvah. I take a salad, a vegetable that nobody ever squeezes, and squeeze it into the mikvah. It changes the color of the mikvah, azma, but it's not a mashke. It only called a mashke in place plus a mikvah b'shinim ma'aret. So the Gemara says, how do you explain it with that din? It must be based on the fact of achshavim. Since you personally are squeezing out this vegetable, you are giving significance to the liquid. That's why it's called a quote unquote mashke. The Gemara jumps, wow, what an extrapolation. From Hilchos Mikvot to Shabbos. Just as in Hilchos Mikvot, your personal preference of squeezing out this vegetable creates a quote-unquote problem, so too, your personal preference of squeezing the pomegranates creates a problem as well. That was the Gemara's jump. That was the Gemara's precedent in Halacha for the principle of Achshavinu. So the Gemara says, it's not a raya. The Gemara says, the fact that the mikvah is puzzle, that doesn't prove to me there's a principle of achshavin. Why? Who says that only a liquid passes the mikvah? If the mikvah has a different color, kola, shinimara, passes the mikvah. The preface to the Gemara's raya was only a mashke passes the mikvah. Mashke passes the shinimara. So you have to get a chalos shei mashke. You have to get a halachic category called mashke. Squeezing spinach juice is not very mashke oriented. The answer must be achshavenu, and then we can extrapolate from the Hilchos Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, you misunderstood Hilchos Mikvot. The real reason why the spinach juice passes the mikvah, not because it's a mashke, but just because it's green, because it's a different color, that passes the mikvah. So comes the Beis Yosef and says, now we have a textual question in the Gemara. The Gemara rejected the proof of mikvah. So the question is, did the Gemara reject the proof, but the statement is still true? There is a principle of achshavenu out there. The Gemara just rejected the absolute ironclad proof from Mikvos, because Mikvos we can explain away in a different way, but the idea of Achshavinu is true even though the proof is no longer valid. What do we say? No. Once the Gemara rejected the proof, Nofla Yisod, Nofla Binyan, and the whole premise is gone, the whole din is wrong also. The Gemara in effect rejected Achshavinu. So Rashi and the Rashba, all the other Rishonim were assuming that although it's true technical ground, the Gemara said, your raya for Mikvos needs a little bit of work. The raya for Mikvos is not the end of the world, but the basic question of Achshavinu, the basic premise of Achshavinu is true, and Rashi explained it in his way, and Rashi explained it in his way. The Beis Yosef says, no, he thinks that all the other Rishonim learned that once the Gemara rejects the proof from Mikvos, then the whole Yisrael, the whole principle of Achshavinu no longer exists. If Achshavinu is no longer a factor in Halacha, so back to square one, why can't you squeeze pomegranates? The Gemara never answers the question. The Beis Yosef says, I will continue where the Gemara left off. The Gemara asks, how come you can't squeeze pomegranates? The Baal, if it's not based on Achshavinu, it must be based on the fact that some people are doing it. But there are only a very, very few people. Why do they cause a problem? Says the Beis Yosef, there's an unwritten line in the Gemara in effect. It must be there's more than a few people. It must be there are a couple of more than that. It's a significant minority, and that creates the problem. So the Beis Yosef says, I'm not against the Gemara. I'm all for the Gemara. The Gemara rejected Achshavinu entirely. Hakol Mikolko. Since the Gemara rejects Achshavinu, lock, stock, and barrel, the only reason we're left with is the Beis Midrash of Menachem. But we have to add a few more people to the pomegranate squeezers. So when all the dust settles, the Beis Yosef's pshat is still alive and well in the Gemara. And we have three different pshatim between Rashi and the Rashi and the Beis Yosef. Tachlis, the Maisa, why does the Braisa say you can't squeeze pomegranates? Why can't you squeeze prunes? Hopefully, tomorrow, now that we have the three different approaches of the Rishonim, we'll try to see the Maisa. Why does it matter for us? Tachlis, I'm not squeezing pomegranates, I'm not squeezing prunes. I want to know, can I squeeze my oranges? Can I squeeze my apples? Can I squeeze other fruit? How does any of this going to play out in the Maisa in terms of us? But we have to first get the basic structure of the Rishonim.